to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Deacon Rich Napoli, usually joined by my wonderful wife, Janet, but she can't be with us today. But the show is Deacon Dialogues, and this is our first show for the fall. We took a month or two off in the summer, and I know you heard some repeats. And this show itself is a tape show, so please no phone-ins this time around. But Janet is doing well and up in Boston with our daughter, who just moved into a new apartment there, and so she's doing all those wonderful things of getting her moved in and settled and decorated, which is the most important. I have a guest on today, but I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on. It's fall now, and it's certainly a great time of the year. Everyone's back at school, and everyone's back at work, and the seasons are starting to change. Those are all the good things. But there's also some, you know, if you've been watching the news, there's certainly much trouble in this world today. Troubles with events in foreign countries, trouble right here in our own communities. I'm dealing with several families who have children who have passed away through unfortunate circumstances. And so it's easy kind of with all that going on in the world today to look at the worst side of things and always think that, you know, life is so much suffering and toil and trouble here, and that it's, you can get caught up in that, and that there's no value, if you will, in suffering. And yet, so much grace can come out of suffering if we only cooperate with God in that. And I wanted to, in the spirit of that concept, that notion of the value of suffering, that suffering can lead to some good things if we only allow it, just like Jesus suffered on the cross and led us to such a beautiful place of salvation. I wanted to have a guest on today to help us sort of explain his story and how that concept of the beauty of that can come out of some incredibly difficult things can be wonderful in our lives. So my guest today is Jerry Bowen. Jerry Bowen is a fellow parishioner at St. Vincent de Paul Parish, where I am still a parishioner, although I serve over at St. Andrew's Parish. And Jerry is an attorney in Southampton, doing general practice law. Grew up in Elkins Park, went to LaSalle High School and University of Scranton. He has two children. One we're going to hear a lot about, Grace, and another one, Shannon, and his wife, Doreen. He's also, besides being an attorney, he also is an adjunct professor at Mariner College and on the board of a local Philadelphia hospital. So welcome, Jerry. Thanks for joining me on the show here today.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Great. It's one of the reasons that Jerry and I started talking is because Jerry actually wrote a book. The book is called Blessed by a Saint, Stories About Grace. And it was this book that kind of led to our conversation because I've known Jerry for a while. He and I were on the finance committee at St. Vincent's Parish. And it was in talking about this book that we saw some opportunities here to kind of share his story of a special daughter called Grace. She's a special needs child, but the impact that this child has had on his life and on the life of so many others around him. So, Jerry, we'll talk later about the book, but I do want to start off by saying, as I told you before, is that I'm a pretty particular reader, and I'm pretty critical of other people's writing, and I have to say this is particularly well written.
Well, thank you for that.
And not that I'm any, I have no authority, I have no, you know, special responsibilities to write. I take my writing seriously, and I look for it in others. And this is not only not well written grammatically, but as a story, as a heartfelt story, your emotion comes through this book so well. So I appreciate, and then we're going to talk about, you know, not only the book, but more importantly about Grace and what she's meant for you. So let's start. First of all, just a reminder to everyone, you were listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 in Philadelphia and WCLJ 1420 in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and I'm here with Jerry Bowen to talk about his wonderful daughter, Grace. So let's start. Just give us sort of almost like the bio of Grace. Tell us about what is her special needs, what was it like at the beginning for you when you learned about those special needs, and where is she now?
Those that know me know that I could talk about our Grace for forever. She's really a truly what we feel is an angel on earth. She was born on November 1st, All Saints Day, back in 1994. And she was born with a very difficult condition called hydrocephalus, which left her, unfortunately, severely mentally and severely physically disabled, and she's blind. She's been through so much in her life, and it's so much for the family and so much for her. But she never complains. She's the happiest little person that we've ever met. She has more friends than anybody that we know. Mm-hmm. So she's a very inspiring person to so many people that meet her throughout the different paths that she goes in her world. And so we have been blessed, and we're a classic example, I believe. When she was first born, we thought it was a tragedy that she was born with all these problems. She's been hospitalized 50 times in her lifetime. But we've learned. We've learned that with faith, we can see that God's plan means that we are supposed to take the path, do our best with it. And she really represents handling adversity, and she really represents unconditional love, and she really represents doing the best with what we can, with what we're given in life.
Mm, that's so beautiful. So let's start with, you know, tell us sort of at the very beginning, you know, you describe it very beautifully in the book, you know, on that very first day, you went in for the delivery thinking you were, you know, looking forward to a very joyful event. And yet hours later, you had quite a different emotion. So tell me what that felt for you.
Well, it was certainly hard as parents to deal with having children with disabilities. You learn that there's difficulties in life and adversity, and you do your best. Well, we found out right at the time that Grace was due that there was serious problems, and she had hydrocephalus, and it was profoundly affected on her. And the fact of the matter is, she wasn't expected to live very long, and so she's in many ways defied the odds. And her medical history is very long, and what she's gone through, operations, and but when she was first born, you know, it was very hard. I you know, was a person that grew up, you know, Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, Catholic college, and I'm a believer that you throw it on over your shoulder and do whatever you can. But it's traumatic. My wife had a very hard time. She was the most careful mother you could possibly imagine, and she just was so. It was very, hard to accept that we have had a child that had all these problems. And so it was hard at first, and the care was hard at first, but over time, we've grown to just feel so lucky. She's defied all the odds. You know, all the things that people said she couldn't do, she does so many things.
I mean, when you describe her at birth, you're like, wow, this poor child's going to really, you know, never experience, be a part of the world that we know, and yet she seems to be quite active in the world we know.
There are so many people, and we'll talk about the book in a little bit, I'm sure. The fact is that there's so many people that Grace has met that she's changed their lives. Mm. So the fact is that, her abilities, given her disabilities, are amazing. You know, here's a child now. She's 19 years old.
Wow.
She couldn't add 3 + 2 if you asked her a math problem, but she knows 100 different people by the sound of their voice. She's blind, but if you walk up behind her and say and speak to her, she knows who it is, and she'll tell you your name. She has an amazing ability with memorizing prayer. She has an amazing ability to memorize songs. And yet, as I said, she couldn't do a simple math problem. So there's a part of her brain that works better than people that don't have disabilities.
Right, right.
So we all have gifts, and Grace is an example of, you know, she doesn't have what a lot of people can do in certain things, but she has a gift of spirituality and a gift of the effect on people, and that's a big part of what the book's all about. The book is to tell her story and to tell how many people she's affected and all the good that she's done with despite, you know, her disabilities.
Right, right. And she has, you mentioned she can talk. She has some limited mobility, too, as well, right?
Yeah, Grace is a combination. If you read the book, she's a combination of some characters in both movies and fiction. She, you know, Grace has had a surgery that was very difficult even to describe. But they literally had to break her skull in pieces and rebuild it because of the pressure. You know, the doctors that Grace have had over the years have saved her life numerous times, and we thank them every day. But the fact is, she was like Humpty Dumpty. They had to break her skull to get rid of the pressure and then rebuild a bridge so that her brain could grow without causing spinal pressure. So she's a little bit like Forrest Gump. She wears leg braces and she's a little bit like Tiny Tim. You know, she's always looking at the bright side no matter what is going on. So she is an inspirational little lady. And as I was telling you as we were speaking before, she's born on All Saints Day. She looks exactly like the angel Grace in angel books. I mean, here it is. Her name is Grace. And the things that have happened to her over time really have defy logic. She has a real special spiritual quality, and that's what the book tries to tell you.
Yeah, no, you get that loud and clear throughout the book is just how many lives she's touched in her own unique way, you know, and people. I love the last section of the book that talks about all, you know, personal testimonies of the influence that she's had on their lives. But I want to start. You talked a little bit about the time she was born, and of course the great challenges that meant for you. And you tell me about the adaptations you had to make in your life, and sort of in order to accommodate her special needs.
Well, Grace's first 2 years of life, she, I think, averaged like 150 doctor or therapy visits each year. I mean, it was just, and therapy for like six different things. I mean, she was, because of the condition she has, the hydrocephalus and other related diagnosis, there's problems down the midline, as they say. She has all kinds of problems, both physically. She's a lot like a cerebral palsy type of condition. Mm-hmm. And then mentally, she's considered severely handicapped mentally. So all kinds of things going on. So all kinds of therapies, all kinds of doctor's appointments, and all kinds of procedures because a lot of her basic body functions don't work. Didn't work without help. Mm. She suffered a lot of urinary tract infections, bowels and bladder and things like that just were slightly impaired and therefore needed help in order to operate. So she's been through a lot. For her first several years, she went through a tremendous amount. And ultimately for our family, you know, we were fortunate to find a residential care facility that deals with children that have multi-handicaps, and it's called St. Edmund's.
It's a Catholic facility, right?
Under the auspices of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Beautiful. It's one of the wonderful programs and facilities that they operate to help those people with special needs, and it's been a godsend to my wife and I. She's at St. Edmund's a lot. She's home a lot, but the help and support that we get with the St. Edmund's world has made so much of a difference for Grace. She's thrived there. Mm-hmm. She's been able to get all the necessary therapies, and we've been able to be a family that spends time with her, enjoys her, and not just be a 24-hour caretaker.
Right.
And so combined, the combination of the St. Edmund's world and my wife, Doreen, who's been an incredible mother, and her sister, Shannon, being a wonderful younger sibling, we've done our best under the circumstances to make life the best we can as a family. And one of the things I wanted to mention, if I got a chance, is we have a concept we call Sunday's Family Day. You know, one of my friends is a training deacon. His name is Johnny Mishler. And Johnny Mishler, his family, I learned from their family growing up, Sunday's his family day. So in our family, we spend Sundays with Grace. That's all it is. It's about spending family day. And through that, we've learned it's helped our lives so much. We go to church together. We picnic together. We just hang out and do the simple things in life. And that's what Grace teaches us. We learn so much from Grace. We learn how to appreciate, you know, everything we learn how to think, what is a real problem? You know, what do we have a real problem in our hectic everyday schedule when Grace,
yeah.
Grace has those, you know, the people with special needs have real problems. So we learn from Grace. She teaches us every day how to love, how to be, how to take things in perspective. So one of the things that we're proud of is that we've always had Family Day in our family for Sundays, and I think that it's helped our family be stronger. I mean, one of the things we learned early on was that about 85% of couples with severely disabled children would get divorced
because
of the added stress when life is stressful enough. It can, if you're lucky and you try really hard, make you stronger. And we've been lucky to be able to say that, and this is a lot to do with my wife, that we've become a stronger family because we all worked together to deal with what we had to.
Yeah, and we're going to come back to that because I think that's a key element of this whole notion of challenges and suffering in life that, yeah, many people, you know, succumb to it in sort of the negative sense and it rips them apart. And yet, you know, God is in Christ is calling us towards embracing that suffering because it can lead to something so much better. So we're going to come back to that thought, but I want to first just take a little break, just say you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. The show is Deacon Dialogues. We're on the air at in Doylestown at 1570 AM. We also broadcast on 1420 AM in Coatesville. And you're listening, I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. I'm here with Jerry Bowen, attorney and author of the book Blessed by a Saint, about his daughter Grace. I want to, Jerry, I want to focus on sort of a what sounds like in the book, and I remember this when it happened, sort of a pivotal moment in Grace's life and in your life when I guess she was around 6 years old, and you made a trip to Rome. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about what that was and why was it such a pivotal event?
Well, love to. Certainly. The fact is that back in the year 2000, which was a millennium year in the Catholic Church, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia decided to send 5 special needs children to Rome for the Millennium Jubilee Mass for the disabled. So first of all, we were very fortunate that Grace was selected to be one of the 5 children to go to Rome. So we went along with a big pilgrimage group from the St. Edmunds community, which was nurses, administration, aides, to take these 5 special children over to Rome for the Mass. Now, the Mass, the Jubilee Mass, was 13,000 people in St. Paul's Outside the Walls Basilica, which is the biggest basilica in Rome for indoor seating. All right. Yeah. So we went to Rome for the Millennium Jubilee Mass. Now, we always like to say, and we're pretty sure that this is correct, because of Cardinal John Foley, who's from Philadelphia, who passed away a couple years ago, and he was a friend of my family and a friend of many. He organized it, we believe, so that the 5 kids from Philadelphia were in the very first pew on the day of that Mass. And our Grace was in the very first seat of the very first pew.
Right.
So if you look at the pictures in the book, you can see these little white stockings that are stuck or in a corner of the picture. And the fact of the matter is she was the first seat, the first pew during the Mass with Pope John Paul II saying the Millennium Jubilee for the disabled. And I tell the story to friends, and I mention in the book that when the doors opened that day and Pope John Paul II came in to that basilica, you know, here you had the Super Bowl for the people that were there.
Yeah.
This was the biggest day for many people that deal with a disabled member of their family or caregivers or loved ones. And so it was an emotional day. It was such a powerful day. And when he first came in, you looked and you saw and you thought, oh, goodness, he was, I think, around in his 80s at the time. And you saw this inner strength, like iron, underneath.
Even though he's frail on the outside.
Even though he's frail on the outside, I could perceive it right away. There's something was fascinating about him. They were worried he wasn't going to be able to or up to saying the Mass.
Right.
And then he went and said the Mass in 5 different languages. I mean, he was truly amazing and an example. I think he lived it. I mean, one of the things I always say about Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II, is that he dealt with almost everything in life that people deal with. That's, I think, why people loved him so much.
Right.
And he certainly had his own disabilities. And so that day, we went to that Mass, which was a two-hour Mass, including our pastor, Father Joseph McLaughlin from St. Vincent de Paul, who decided 2 days before the trip that he was going to be involved. And he flew out over on his own and joined us that day and celebrated the Mass, which was also a special thing. But that was an amazing day in our family, and it was an amazing day that we were able to be part of that worldwide Millennium Jubilee Mass.
And then shortly after that, you had even a more significant event, I think, and during that same trip, right?
Absolutely.
That you had the
audience.
The Wednesday audience, yeah. So tell us about that.
Certainly, I love to. I tell the story every day in my office in Southampton. I have a collage of these pictures because I think the world needs to be inspired, and we think Grace can do that. So the fact is that we went to an audience a few hours later.
Same day, okay.
Same day. And there was a little break between the Mass and the audience. And the audience was 6,000 people. You had to have tickets. Right. 6,000 people in a big audience hall. And the story goes that Pope John Paul II was brought in on one of his travel, little mobile vehicles with the Royal Swiss Guard surrounding him. Yep. And they would bring him down the middle aisle. And while they're doing that, the crowd, of course, is very excited and emotional, and there's music playing. And the Royal Swiss Guard are going down the aisle asking people to back up and back up. And I'm at the edge of the row, and the Swiss Guard comes over to me, and I'm expecting him to yell at me to get back. And he says in a half Italian, half English, give her to me. And he took Grace out of my arms, walked over to the front of the platform, and the whole procession stopped. The whole procession stopped, and he handed her up to Pope John Paul II. Mm. Now, I always get a little emotional when I get to this point, because I'm standing there in a crowd, and I couldn't believe it. So he handed her to the Pope, and the Pope looked at her, blessed her, kissed her, hugged her, and then handed her back to me and blessed me. Mm. So it was a very emotional point, a moment, and against all the odds kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you were describing how you were kind of like, you know, realizing as you were standing there, you know, as you're moving your way, you're kind of pushing forward in the crowd, realizing this moment I will never have this moment, opportunity again in my entire life. And you're going to go make the best of it.
I think that there are times in our life where we say to ourselves, this is a critical moment in my life. This is an important moment in my life. Let me make the best of it.
Right.
And so I made it sure that I could do my best to get Grace as close as possible. Played a little offensive tackle from LaSalle High School. But the fact is that we were very fortunate that happened that day to Grace. And it was an amazing thing. The group from Philadelphia who was in the crowd behind me was just thrilled. Yet, you know, it's interesting to talk to people later. They said they weren't even, it didn't shock them, because there's something about Grace, their whole life, that some people were like not surprised that this happened to her. Mm. So that's part of her little mystical spiritual quality.
And what about the connection? You said there was a moment when the two of them, your daughter and Pope, kind of looked at each other, and you could sense something then.
The connection could be seen, and it shows in the pictures. And there are people I've spoken to that say sometimes that people with, shall we say, extra higher levels of spirituality can sense other spiritual people in their presence. And the way that that St. John Paul II connected with Grace is truly something that we think was special. And let me say this, too. One of the things that's in the book but is also fascinating is that day Grace had underneath her little – it was a Christmas dress because it was December of the year 2000. Right. She had on a travel money belt. And in the money belt we had stuffed with rosaries, because here we are. We're in Rome. We're going to the audience. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. We're going to hope for the best. So we had about 16 rosaries in the money belt. So when she was – blessed by him, you know, by virtue of being connected, those rosaries were blessed. And when we came back from Rome, I went to people that I knew that were dealing with something difficult in their lives, and I gave them one of the rosaries. So that's the second story in the book called Touched by Grace, which is the ripple effect. And each of those rosaries, the stories told in vignettes, each of those rosaries tells a separate story of how people were touched by Grace's big day. There are many people who believe that who was blessed that day? Is it just Grace, or everybody that comes into contact with grace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she has that ripple effect on people, and
tell
the story strikes.
Tell us one of the stories from one of those 16 rosaries.
Well, while the stories are a spectrum, because I intentionally tried to reach out to people that were dealing with different topics. And one of the stories was a client of mine, a friend of mine, whose wife was dealing with cancer. And we knew that it was close to the end, and I got back from Rome, and I went over to the house to give his wife, you know, a set of rosaries. And it was just what I think we as Catholics want to try to do, is do what we can to comfort people. And I had this, and I thought I would try this. So it was a short visit at the house, and then I heard a few weeks later that the woman passed away. So I went to the funeral. And as I got to the receiving line in the funeral, I said hello to the husband and extended my condolences. And he introduced me to his children. And he said, "Hey, guys, this is my lawyer, but it's also Grace's dad." And the one son, as I recall, was a son, pulled me to the side and said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And he said to me, "You have no idea how much those rosaries meant to my mother." The final weeks of her life, that's all she talked about. She talked about the fact that that's a sign from God to help her make the transition to the next world. And she asked her family to be buried with those rosaries in her hands. So I left that that day, you know, as anyone leaves a funeral, feeling, you know, sad that there's been a loss, but realizing that we can make a difference in people's lives. And that's one of the things I've learned from Grace. We can make a difference, and we should do our best every day.
Interesting, interesting. You know, you mentioned the effect that she's had on so many others. Tell me about the impact. I want to dig in a little bit the notion. You know, you talked about in the first hours and weeks and months of Grace's life how overwhelmed you were, you know, and certainly dealing with, you know, these incredible revelations of how, you know, challenged she was and what kind of life she was going to lead. You know, how did you turn, you know, how did you go from there to where you are now? Or how was Grace's role in that, and how was God's role in that to get you from that moment, that despair you must have felt and shock, to the point where you've now... You know, sort of recognize that this is, you know, actually, for all its challenges, it has been a grace, so to speak, in your life, and her challenges have led you to where you are today. So, what was that process like? How'd you get from A to B? I mean, that's a question a lot of people would want to understand.
Well, one of the things I'd say, and I do say, is that, you know, Grace, through everything she's been through, she's the one who's the patient. She's never complained. You know, Grace has never complained. So we now say, if Grace isn't going to complain, then we're not going to complain.
What right do we have?
You know, and the fact of the matter is, she's been hospitalized 51 times in her life. She has seizures that can be very traumatic as far as what they do. She takes 17 doses of medicine a day. She has 15 different doctors. She's been through 4 different major surgeries in her life. And she goes to constant, just regular doctor's appointments every year to deal with all the issues that come up. But she never complains. And slowly through the world, and especially the St. Edmund's world with the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Catholic Social Services, which has been, as I mentioned, a blessing in our life and a great example of the good that the church does, we've learned that these special needs individuals, they may very well be angels on earth. Mm. I mean, when you think about it, Grace has never sinned. Here is a perfect soul. And the fact of the matter is that we've learned to believe that these special needs individuals may very well be God's angels, and they may very well be the people who are going to take care of us in the next life. So we are, I believe, duty-bound by faith to do our best to help the disabled And that's a big point of the book. I mean, one of my hopes and intentions with the book is to make people more observant and more understanding and more loving of people with disabilities. And that's the thing right there, Deacon, is that if this book, you know, all the proceeds from the book are going to go to Charities for the Disabled, if this book inspires people, if this book helps people, mm-hmm. if this book raises some money to a good cause, this is grace doing good, changing the world as much as we can.
Right.
You know, I mentioned to you as we were talking beforehand that there's a song by U2 called Grace, which is about a special needs girl who changes the world. The lyrics of that song are so uncanny. People who know Grace listen to that song, and it's as if the song was written about her.
Wow.
And amazing, on the same CD as that song by U2, the song before it is a song that Bono wrote about Pope John Paul II. So there's a lot of instances like that. And through Grace's life, she has met people and literally changed their jobs, changed their majors. People meet Grace, and they've become so interested in helping people with disabilities. It's fascinating.
Mm.
So, and literally, the stories are endless. The book, if I'll just kind of summarize right now, because it gives a little perspective. The book is 16 short stories. And the short stories are sort of different kinds of written in different genres, but they're basically 16 short stories. The book has 20 photographs in the middle, which by themselves describe Grace, show her angelic qualities, show her through all her sacraments, and also show you what she's gone through medically and physically with all her different rehabs and all her different necessary therapy treatments and things like that. They're very the book. You know, as they say, sometimes the pictures can do a lot, and the pictures tell the story without even reading the book. But the last chapter of the book, I decided I would have some quotes by people that Grace has inspired. I figured I'd get a couple because I felt that was the full circle. What a wonderful way to finish the book about an inspirational person than to get quotes from people that she's inspired. Well, I ended up with 46 quotes. People called me up, came out of the woodwork, asked me, begged me, to please be able to give a quote about Grace because, and I was fascinated. You know, this is what's magical about faith and life, is that when I read and heard what people had to say about how Grace was inspired, that they were inspired by her, I was amazed. I had no idea.
Right.
She's inspired different people in different ways.
Right.
So that's a little bit about the book and how she has that effect. And one last thing I'd like to mention about the world, the worlds that Grace is in. You know, Grace also goes to Overbrook School for the Blind, which is a wonderful. We're so lucky to have that in the Philadelphia area.
Yeah.
And so many of the people that we've met that in the worlds of taking care of the disabled, teaching the disabled, caring for the disabled, they believe they're lucky to have those jobs. And they're the toughest jobs you can imagine.
Yeah.
But they believe they're lucky because they believe that handling and helping these special needs individuals become their, whatever their maximum can be, they believe they're lucky to be involved in that.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That really is, you know, what Christ calls us to do for everyone is to recognize that God lives within that person, is to be treated with dignity and respect and elevated to, you know, their full dignity. And it sounds like you have certainly been doing that with Grace. I want to take a reminder to everyone, you're listening to Deacon Dialogues here on Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 in Philadelphia, and WCLJ 1420 in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and we're here with Jerry Bowen, attorney in Southampton, Pennsylvania, and also the author of the book Blessed by a Saint. And, you know, Jerry, I want to, you know, talk about the effect that people have in your lives, special needs people particularly. I want to use this as my story a little bit to tell you, get you to talk more about the impact it's had on your family. So back when I was an atheist, back, you know, when a young, newly married, before we had any children, I was always athletic, and I was competing in a corporate Olympics, which was where you get a bunch of, you know, corporations, put the teams together, like 24 people, runners, swimmers, serious athletes, and you compete, like a little Olympics. And it was always done, you know, to raise money for the Special Olympics, for, you know, special needs children. And I can remember before I had kids, always at the beginning of the day, it was a one-day event, incorporated, it'd be about, you know, 500 or 600 people there, athletes, And they, at the beginning, the opening ceremonies, if you will, was a parade of some of these Special Olympic athletes coming down the middle of the field. And I can remember, before I had children, before I had Faith, kind of looking at these kids and like, oh, come on, let's get these kids through here. Come on. I got races to run. I got things to do. And, just dismissive of these kids and their beauty and their happiness. And I remember that because exactly 1 year later, I'm in that same event again. Only now, my wife and I have had our first child and a healthy boy, but about 3 months old. And that very same moment, of those special needs children parading down in front, I looked at that and I was in tears. I was just in tears. One, because of in thanks for God for allowing me to have a healthy child, and more importantly, to see the beauty and the joy of those children in a new way, as a gift, as a wonderful gift to me. And this is before I had any faith. I had no idea about God or what, my call, what my duty was to deal with those. But there was just something about those children that hit me in a different way than before. So I use that story as sort of a prelude back to you. It's like, your change. I want to talk about you a little bit. What have you learned from Grace? How have you changed from being that dad, before you had the child, thinking everything was great, and then after she's born, being completely devastated and wondering what almost, I'm sure you had all kinds of thoughts of like, what did I do to deserve this? Why me, God? All those normal reactions. And what has she taught you that's enabled you to see her as gift, as beauty, as grace?
Well, we, both my wife and I both would say that grace has made us better people. We've become, and I believe it's true of our younger daughter, Shannon, as well, that she would say the same thing because of the things I've mentioned already, that she teaches us perspective and we know what a real problem is. And, and she's a very spiritual person and she helps us be a very spiritual family. So I think that many people who deal with a disabled member of the family, you walk in the world. And when you walk in the world, you become more sensitive. You become more aware. And, you open doors for people. You try to help, And it's unfortunate, but sometimes it takes being exposed to the world. And now one of the things I'd say is that friends of mine who know that the Bowens do Family Day on Sundays, there are friends of ours that have said, let's go spend the day with Grace. Yeah. And family and friends would come, and whether it's at our house or at St. Edmunds, they would come play wiffle ball, have a picnic with us, and spend time with Grace. And what happens is that family that may have three or four children with no medical problems, and they're very fortunate, they leave that day and they're a tighter family. They leave that day, the kids are talking to mom and dad, say, wow, we are lucky. Wow, what some people have to live with. Mm-hmm. And then when the kid gets picked on in school because there's something about them that somebody else wants to pick on them for, they're more observant to say, hey, I'm going to stand up for that. Right. So we have seen so many people, friends and family, and who have gone out of their ways to say, I want to go spend time. One of the quotes in the book, a gentleman that we knew that's a friend of Grace's, he always used to say, when I'm down, when I'm bothered by life, I go see Grace. I get some Gracie time because when I'm with her, I feel better. One of the quotes in the book is to say that when you hug Grace, you feel better. There's some kind of karma that she exudes. Yeah. And I think that stands for the special needs community across the board. Grace is an ambassador, I believe, for those with disabilities. People with special needs are individuals that have these gifts that we have to appreciate more. And I think that the more we can get the message out, the more we can make people sensitive. The book, of course, tells many stories. And I already have some stories I've been reading, I've been learning about since people have read the book. Mm. A friend of mine told me the story. He read the book over Labor Day weekend. And then he's walking down the beach, down one of the shores, and saw a family with a disabled child. He ran back to his spot, grabbed the book, took it down to the people and said, here, this is a gift. See you later. God bless.
Wow.
He said, he calls it the grace effect. Mm. The fact is that you will become more aware. And therefore, you try maybe to make a difference. Mm-hmm. So we're hopeful that will continue to happen with this book. And it's the message of the book is to for all of us to evaluate. You know, many of the people that have been buying the book are giving them away as gifts for people for Christmas to hopefully spread the word, because that's the message. You know, grace stands for perseverance, unconditional love, and to deal with life, to do the best you can with what God gives you. And we don't always know God's plan. I mean, that's a big thing about our whole
family. I was going to ask you, how has your relationship with God changed? I mean, from that early day to now, what have you learned about that relationship? How has that relationship improved?
Well, one of my I'll segue to that by saying that at our parish, St. Vincent, as you know, I'm the Catholic Charities guy. And
right.
I, for the last 10 years or so, I have offered very gladly to be a spokesperson for Catholic Charities, because that's St. Emmons is under that umbrella within the Archdiocese. And the fact is, I speak at the masses Sunday and Saturday in May about the Catholic Charities and spread the word about all the good that's done for people that are the needy. So I have become more aware not only of people with disabilities, but all the programs that the Archdiocese of Philadelphia does have to help people. Every year I try to learn about a different program and tell our parishioners. The parishioners always ask me to speak in 3 minutes, keep it short, but they always like hearing about the different programs and all the good that's being done to help people around the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So because of grace, you know, I've been led down a different path that maybe I wouldn't have been led down.
Right.
Maybe I wouldn't be so involved with Catholic Charities. Maybe I wouldn't be writing a book. Maybe I wouldn't be doing some of the things. And therefore, I'm proud that she's led me down that path. And as a lot of people have said to me, perhaps it's my job to tell Grace's story.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, and then you're doing it well, believe me. As I said, it's a very well-written book. You can really not just, you know, when you, particularly I remember reading the story, well, both the story of when she was born and the story of her, you bringing her to St. John and Paul. And the emotion, you felt like you were right there, living the moment with you as you went through that. And it was really very well told there. Tell me about, you know, your prayer life. I mean, you must have spent a lot of time in prayer when this first happened. You know, and I know other people that are suffering right now sometimes feel that, why bother praying? You know, this is a mess. I'm suffering. There's no good that can come of this. You know, or they try to pray and nothing happens. Nothing changes. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get healed instantly. You know, tell me how your prayer life has kind of matured, not matured, but changed from, you know, from before grace to now.
Well, I'm an usher at the 7:30 Mass at St. Vincent,
yeah.
And I admittedly will say that by being an usher, it makes me get up and go to Mass because I have to go as I'm assigned. But I love being an usher, and we have a great group that does the 7:30 Mass at St. Vincent's every month. But I believe that going to church is part of the answer. It's that simple. You know, starting my Sunday by going to Mass starts my week, starts our family day, and I think it's a big part of the answer on how to handle life. Life is hard. You deal with obstacles. You deal with challenges, things that happen that are unfair. I mean, terrible things happen to good people. The fact is that life is just difficult sometimes. And I believe that through religion, that is a big part of the answer. I don't pray for results. I pray for the strength to deal with what happens in life.
Yep.
And I've learned that from grace. And the fact of the matter is that our family looks at it that way. I'm a big fan of Catholic education. I'm a big fan of going to church every Sunday. And you deal, you know, having a younger teenage daughter, you know, and they ask the question, why do I have to go to Mass? Well, because I said so. But the reality is, I believe, that the more we can do to keep us on those train tracks of life, and I think that going to Mass every Sunday is part of that. And we are there, we learn, we're reminded, and we're part of that parish community, you know, which is a wonderful thing. And I'll say this about our parish, St. Vincent de Paul, I mean, led by our wonderful pastor, Father McLaughlin. We have a wonderful parish that cares about each other. And, you know, that's a part of life that you wouldn't have if you're not involved in your parish. Right. And I don't think people realize sometimes what they're missing. It's a wonderful thing to be a great part, you know, to be a part of a great parish community.
The church, serves so many functions towards our salvation. You know, most important, as you said, the Mass and offering us the Eucharist, giving us the strength of Christ, body and blood, soul and divinity every time, as a way to nourish us spiritually so that we can endure all this suffering, is the church's greatest gift. But it also, you're right, it is the church is a community, as a place where you go to find friends, to find help, to find support, to help others. And especially in modern America, you know, that used to be your neighborhood that all that would happen. And now you barely know the neighbors on either side of you. Wave to them and maybe you talk to them once a year when you're shoveling snow. But you don't really relate as much to your local community. The church has become and should be, that kind of place where you are united in community. And I'm glad you've been able to find that. St. Vincent's is always, now I'm serving over at St. Andrew's, which is a beautiful parish as well.
We miss you.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. I miss being there. But one of the things I consistently hear about St. Vincent's is that it is the most welcoming parish. That, Father McLaughlin always has his arms out, a big hug for everybody that comes, and invites you in. And I think that's one of the most beautiful parts about this parish. I do want to remind everyone you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Knapple, here on Deacon Dialogues. We're on air at WISP 1570 in Philadelphia and WCLJ 1420 in Coatesville. I'm joined by my guest today, Jerry Bowen, a fellow parishioner, an attorney, and the author of the book, Blessed by a Saint. I want to tell you a little story, Jerry, sort of related to this notion of not of recognizing the value that sometimes of the crosses were given. When my son graduated high school, we had a little party and small party with family and so forth, and we're all kind of toasting him, wishing him well as he heads off to college. And my wife gives a toast, and we all like cringed. And she says, "Drew, I wish you a life of hardship and struggle." And we're like, first she thought she was laughing, she was joking, but then we realized, oh my God, she's serious. And why would you say that to your son? But it really, in coming, and I was early in my faith journey back then, but now my understanding is, what she's saying is like, look, if you have a life that's completely smooth and trouble-free and every pebble is removed from you along the road, you may still be a wonderful person and be a holy person. But oftentimes it's when we're faced with challenges in life that kind of wakes us up, takes us off the path and says, oh my God, but what do I do, and how do I, and I'm suffering, this is wrong, this is bad. It's those moments when, we can turn closer to God and draw closer to God, much like you did in those moments after you learned about grace's condition. You could have easily kind of gone away from the church and said, I don't want to, believe in any God that would do that to my daughter, right? And yet you accepted that suffering, and because of that, you drew closer to Christ. Your family did, that grace has passed on because of your willingness to accept that. So, I heard my wife's message to her son was like, look, hardship and struggle are good things, because they lead you closer to Christ, and that leads you closer to heaven, and that's what she wants for her son. So I think that your family seems to be the living embodiment of that message, that if, when you take the suffering that is given to you, and of course you do your best to end it, nobody chooses to suffer, nobody wants to suffer, but when you accept it and say, okay, God, I don't know why you're doing this to me, but I know that you always have the best intentions in mind, so I'm going to take that, unite myself to your suffering, and see where it leads, and look where it's led you and your family and grace. It's just an amazing journey that you've been on, and the stories in this book I give an analogy to the stories of this radio station, same kind of thing. People, humbly make a decision and suffer through a lot of things to open this station, and has bestowed graces on so many, many people. So let me turn a little bit to the specifics about the book, because I'm sure hopefully people are wondering, how do I get this book? Where do I get it? What do I, and I know you have a number of different ways that you're you can get this book. So.
Well, thank you for that. And let me mention too that the book tell us about the journey to a degree that we went on, obviously, and it wasn't always, you know, we had to mature to where we are now.
Absolutely.
And you know, we admit, you know, we did our best. You know, that's what people can
you
do.
You made mistakes along the way.
You do your best. And we questioned things at the beginning, why us? And that, the book tells you a little bit about how that occurs. But somewhere along the way saw the light, God's graces, to understand that we're going to make the best out of what we have and truly cherish what we have. So and now let me mention that the book is really supposed to be, of course, they're inspirational stories, and they can, I try to reach a gambit of you know, certainly serious and poignant, but also
some lighthearted.
I try to add humor, and it is, the book is not seeking sympathy. The book is trying to show how a family struggles to persevere, how you do the best you can, and I try to have a little fun along the way. And some of the stories are intended to have a lot of ingredients in it. So hopefully the readers will find that out. And that's one of my goals of the book, is to reach multiple emotional strings. The book is published through the company Dorrance Publishing. And the best way to get the book is either to get it from me out of the back of my car or at one of my events that are coming up, but getting it at the, it's called DorranceBookstore.com, and you go to their bookstore and you then search my name, Bowen, and then the book will come up and you can order it either the physical book or an electronic version, yep. Kindles and stuff.
Yep.
And then it's also available on Amazon.com. It's also available on BarnesandNoble.com. We're working on getting it physically into local bookstores. Hopefully that will come too. But it's because what we're trying to do is all the net proceeds from the sale of the book are going to go to charities for the disabled. And what I've decided to do is I'm going to start a website where I am going to enable people to email me with their reactions to the book, comments about the book, perhaps more grace effect stories about the book. And the website, which is just being put together this week, is gbowenauthor.com.
Okay.
And the website will be up and running soon, and we will keep track of the amount of money that's being raised by the book. So I think that'll be a fun venture altogether. I have a couple of book signing events coming up. And let me just mention, if you go to the DorranceBookstore.com website, they have a list of author events. So you can always track on the publisher's website any events that I have coming up. But, for example, I have an event coming up October the 15th. I will be a guest of the Southampton Library doing a book signing from 6 to 8 on October the 15th.
6 to 8 in the evening.
In the evening.
Okay.
6 to 8 in the evening. And then I will be in Bristol at the Mignoni Jewelry and Irish Shop on the 18th of October. Doing a book signing.
And the books are available for purchase there as well.
Yes.
Right? At the signing? Okay, good.
Yes.
Good.
And then I also will be at the Malvern Retreat House in November. I'll be at the Newtown Greater Exchange Club next week. So I'll be around, and I'm looking for more and more opportunities. And like a friend of mine said, is it seems that once I go one place, three doors open. So I'm having that experience, which is nice. And I'm going to be returning to my college alma mater for a People with Disabilities conference, and my book's going to be part of the conference up there at the University of Scranton later in October.
It may even be potentially part of the curriculum, I think you mentioned.
Yeah, they're working on it. So we're very excited about the possibilities with all that. And so we're going to do as many book signings as we can. We're trying to promote things. And as somebody who's slow to come to the world of technology, I understand this. The website will create for me the ability that people can go to the website and like it, Facebook, and send it out. And that's some amazing marketing possibilities that come from that. So we're doing everything we can to promote the book and do the best we can to raise money for people with disabilities. And so I would certainly ask anybody that's out there to please go check it out. If it's something that you think you might enjoy, please get one. Consider it a great read and a great gift.
It is. It is. And especially for those of you that are in moments of suffering, in moments of challenge, you have you have a special needs child, or it could be any life event, you know, a sick or elderly relative, the passing. I'm dealing with the, unfortunately, with the suicide of a few of my friends' children. So I know that those parents are suffering too. And, you know, in those dark moments, it's hard to imagine that any good can come from this. And yet the message again and again and again is, you know, hold on, read this book, look at what the challenges that Grace and her family faced, and yet look at the joy and the beauty that's come and touched so many lives that came out of this. So, definitely, if you're in that situation, this book you will find, as I said, it's extremely well written, and will touch your heart and remind you that God is there for you, God loves you, God always wants the best for you. Even when you don't think he does, he is uniting. He's taking that suffering, if you let him, and bringing you to some place that you couldn't even imagine. Nobody that suffers and comes through on the other side can ever imagine where they are based on where they were. I mean, God has got a plan, and it's never what you quite think, but it's always much more beautiful than you could ever imagine. So that is my advice to you. Any final advice from you? I mean, the parents of special needs children, Jerry, any words of consolation or suggestions you have for them as they struggle through this?
Well, I would offer that, you know, our daughter Grace is just one of the many, and it's an inspirational book. I hope that it helps people spread the word to appreciate and love people with disabilities, and that alone will do a lot for people who have a disabled member of their family.
Yeah, it was a beautiful book, and I wish you well in your journeys. This book sounds like it's catching fire, and I can tell you're on fire. Hopefully this radio station can help that along. Let's just end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, you have created all life, author of all life. Throughout history, you have shown that when we unite ourselves with your suffering, you can take that life and elevate it to holiness. We ask you to continue to elevate Grace and her family and their march towards holiness, and let the joy and beauty of her life shine out to those around her, to show others of what the beauty can result from when you unite yourself with God's suffering, with Christ's suffering on the cross. I say a quick prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you all for listening. This is Deacon Dialogues, Deacon Rich Napoli. I wish you the very best this month and next season. And thank you, Jerry, for being a guest.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.